Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to another edition of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640 and they'll send you a couple of guys. Welcome back. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers, and we had a great Christmas. Not a white Christmas, though. I was dreaming of a brown Christmas, and God answered that prayer.
Listen, your pal Brian here is still in recovery mode. Here, the last weekend we had a bunch of our grandkids over for and they were there for a couple of nights, and it may take me a while to recover from that. I mean, we had a great time, but I was completely exhausted when it was all over.
I can totally understand that, and we had low key Christmas with my family on Friday. Actually, after Christmas, it was just at home with my immediate family on Christmas Day. So
one of the reasons why I'm recovering, however, is I've got some regular old-fashioned Dr. Johnny Fever here in the cup. I'm sipping on that.
Well, we got some coffee always makes it better.
Yeah, we got some outstanding donuts up here from the official donut vendor of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Dutch Oven Bakery
now
on Story Street.
They become a sponsor.
Yeah. Well, if we keep giving them this gratuitous advertising, maybe they'll come on board.
And they are good donuts, and I have to say,
they are indeed.
I think they take the calories out when they bake them. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I don't think so, bud. You're dreaming again.
I'm going to pretend
you're dreaming
that.
Again.
Pretend that as I eat it. So, anyway, hey, we have a very special guest on the line, and his organization has been making waves in Iowa. I've been very impressed with what a draft committee has been able to accomplish thus far. I've never seen anything like it before, but we have Vernon Robinson, who's the campaign director for the National Draft Ben Carson President Committee, on the line with us. Vernon, thanks for joining Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
I'm glad to be here.
You guys are, like, killing it. I mean, you just opened an office in Iowa. I've never seen a draft committee open an office in Iowa.
Incredible, incredible.
Yes, sir, and it was quite a show. There was 105 people showed up, including a number of glitterati within the party leadership, all the elected officials who represent that on the local level and the state level. Brad Zahn was there, senator and state rep was there. The mayor of Johnston was there. Her husband, who's budget or office of management for the governor, was there, and the stars were Tina Goff, who is our regional political director, who's done the hard organizing in Iowa for a year, and a representative for Rob Taylor and his wife, Dr. Christy Taylor, the chairman of the Dallas County GOP. So
sure, and they're your state chairman, correct?
Yes,
okay.
Co-chairman for the state draft effort.
Well, and kudos to Tina for doing a great job of organizing.
Yeah, we know Tina quite well, and she does a fabulous job with whatever campaign she's been a part of, so that's great. So I just have to ask, though. We've seen organizations not like, quite like yours as far as the level of resources and staffing and finances, but I remember, for instance, Organized for Palin last time, crisscrossing the state, and it was mainly, grassroots effort. Why would somebody, invest themselves in a candidate that hasn't even declared yet? I asked the Palin folks that last year because it was mind blowing to me.
Well, the draft committee was created by the idea was created by four guys who were friends in the 60s. They were either in high school or college students during the Goldwater campaign, and they found that the field of available candidates in this cycle wanting, they didn't think any of them could beat Hillary Clinton, and said, let's check out Ben Carson, and they decided to form a committee because they felt that in order to beat Hillary with the electorate that elected Barack Obama twice, you would have to have a candidate who can broaden the base of the GOP and stay true to conservative principles at the same time, and that it's important that that individual be able to calmly and cogently explain conservative principles in a way that the average voter can understand them. And finally, that Dr. Carson may be the only guy in either party who can bond with all the American people and heal the nation. So that's why the committee was formed. And Dr. Carson said that he wasn't interested in running for president, but his, he believes, as the founders did, that you can't just look in the mirror and say, "Honey, I think we'd look great in the White House." That the American people have to call you to run for president, which is why we set out to do three things. A, demonstrate to him that hundreds of thousands of Americans are calling him to run for office, and we're going to end up with about 500,000 petition signatures at the end of the year. And we also wanted to create the political base and the fundraising operation, neither of which they had, and that, you know, in order to net money in a direct mail effort, you have to do it for a year. And if you start it in, like, March of 2015, then when you lose the Iowa caucuses, you'll still not have netted any money.
Sure.
So those things had to be done, and the committee took them on and has done a great job with a lot of help from Iowans.
Vernon, you mentioned a moment or two ago the original guys that got together and had this brainstorm. Can you give us a time frame of when they originally got together and talked about this?
Well, the late summer of last year.
Okay. So things have happened pretty quickly.
We did a test, and it was the test mailing to conservative donors, because if conservative donors weren't going to support this idea, that there wouldn't be a there. You'd end up doing what the Palin people did, which is run around with no resources.
And that's a good point.
I've met three of the five. Well, I met the fifth one, too, but not after starting to work on this effort. And they're great guys. They just were up against a huge challenge as far as resources. And one of the great things about doing a successful job of raising money, it means that, you know, you can raise, we're probably going to end up with about $13 million since inception, and we could make independent expenditures of $500,000 in North Carolina and Louisiana to influence, you know, win the North Carolina Senate race and influence badly damage Mary Landrieu among black voters in Louisiana. And we could put a full team of political directors on the ground across the nation, including Tina, who's done a fantastic job across the Midwest, and also have paid interns. I mean, nobody has paid political interns.
That's true. That's a beautiful thing of interns. You usually don't have to pay them. But
our view is that unpaid interns are affirmative action for rich people's children. And there are
certain, good point.
There are certain kids who, you know, bright kids be effective. Their problem is that if they don't make some money, they can't go back to college. So that certainly was my mother's situation. I went to the Air Force Academy, so I didn't worry about that stuff. But there are a lot of kids who do, and we were, you know, we're going to have 20 paid interns in the this coming spring semester and 25 in the summer. Things are good.
Great. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. On the line, we have Vernon Robinson, who's the campaign director for the National Draft Ben Carson for President Committee. I want to drill down on something that you said earlier when you were talking about, you know, these guys looking at the different candidates, and they're looking at somebody who can reach out, broaden the base, but more, I think the word you used was heal our nation.
Yeah.
What makes Ben Carson that guy?
Well, we found just a tremendous outpouring of support at an emotional level. The GOP in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, as well as the state of North Carolina, banned us from working their booth at the state fairs under the specious logic that Dr. Carson was registered as an independent at the time in Florida. even though Rents Priebus had mailed the country four times. But what we found when we were forced to open our own booth, that we found that we had a rainbow coalition of white, brown, black, yellow, polka dot people mobbing the booth, we're doing a lot better than the GOP booth around the corner, which was a monochromatic coalition and didn't have a whole lot of excitement going on over there, quite frankly.
That's a very PC way of saying they're boring white guys.
Will Rogers, who's chairman of the Polk County Republican Party, and Steve Dace both have commented that when Carson came through Iowa, there was an outpouring of support, and a lot of folks traditionally don't show up at GOP functions. And
That's true.
It's a big deal.
And that place was packed too.
Yeah, I missed the Polk County dinner, but as far as his coming to the family leader event, it was definitely, you could tell they expanded beyond what they normally would get at that dinner. So
there's no question that Dr. Carson was the draw.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Steve Scheffler told me that it was 50% higher than the family leader and Bob Vanderplas had at their previous event, and so yeah, those are some big numbers.
Vernon, I got a quick question though with regard to I guess a follow-up on what Shane just asked you. I realize that Dr. Carson is well known in certain circles throughout the country. I mean, he's had a brilliant career, and so there's, you know, it's not that he's an unknown commodity. Having said that, there still, I would think, be a lot of folks, you know, in the country who are unaware of who he is, don't know much about his background. So I've been really kind of surprised to see the kind of buzz that you folks have been able to get. What do you attribute that to?
I think we can attribute that to the man, an individual who worked his behind off, literally. You have a guy who started at the bottom of his class, had serious anger management problems, and his mother knew three things, at least. Probably knew a lot more, knows a lot more because she's still alive. One of them was that anybody who'd ever been on welfare never got off, that she knew. So she worked three jobs cleaning people's houses so she wouldn't be getting AFDs. The second thing she knew was that the difference between the houses she was cleaning and her own house and the houses in the poorer section of Detroit where she was living were books. And so she required her sons to read books and write book reports, neither of which she could read, which they never knew. And the third thing she knew was that we serve a mighty God. Mm-hmm. And we live in a great country, and with the opportunity of a great country and the grace of a mighty God, you can go from last in your class to the top pediatric neurosurgeon on the planet. And so it is an inspiring story. I mean, we had folks writing petitions to Dr. Carson, and after the Republican women in York County, South Carolina, finished, the bartender/assistant manager asked if she could sign the petition. Hmm. And so she wrote a little bit, and she paused, and she wrote a little bit more, and then she turned it over and continued writing. And what she wrote in summary was that she watched the movie Gifted Hands, which your mm-hmm. listeners can look at on YouTube. And if they don't do that and they go to the caucuses, we'll be mailing them a copy of the Reader's Digest version of Gifted Hands, 66 pages. She said that she felt inspired that she could do anything watching this movie, and that's what the country needed a little bit right now. The country and its citizens need hope. And so I guess she wasn't buying Obama's hope, but she was really calling out. It was very moving little essay, and we, of course, forwarded it on to Dr. Carson, as we did with all of the petitions. You know, all those petitions will be in his hands eventually. And so you know, a whole generation of Black Americans grew up, and their parents, you know, my parents told me about Dr. Carson. They wanted their sons to be Dr. Carson and their daughters to marry him.
Very eligible bachelor. I'm sure all the girls were heartbroken when he was finally married.
And so, for the most part, I believe that a good guy who's a Christian who has a vision for where the country needs to go, can communicate that vision, mm-hmm. can surround himself with the talents that he may not have developed as a neurosurgeon and a managing a $500 million operation at Johns Hopkins and being on the outside director of two multinational corporations for 15 years.
You answer kind of the unspoken question that you know, we had is, you know, we have a president in the currently in the Oval Office who came in with no administrative experience, but in fact, Dr. Carson does have some administrative experience.
Well, he does, but, you know, I sort of poo-poo the folks that say that the president hasn't been effective. The president has been extraordinarily effective.
That's true.
And one of the things he has been most effective at is rolling the House and Senate GOP leadership. Those guys have been hiding under their desks for the whole time and have taken the ridiculous position that you can say that the president conducted himself illegally and unconstitutionally.
Yep. We are.
They just funded that for 2 months.
Yeah. We're out of time. Where can people learn more? What's your website?
I hope they go to www.runbenrun.org.
All right. Thanks, Vernon. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. You've heard me talk about how Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management got my business insured when no one else could. But Tim also insured my home and my family's automobiles. And just the other day, Tim told me that he had a 3-week stretch where he saved three different local families $1,000 per year or more on their insurance. And he said this is not an uncommon thing. So naturally, I said, sign me up for that. Tim Hibbing is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Recently, my family moved into a new house, and we needed a couple of guys to help us. So I called M&A Moving and Hauling. At the Roloff house, maybe like at your house, moving day can be stressful, so you don't want just anyone handling your personal belongings. If you've ever had your church family help you move, then you know what it's like to work with the team of M&A Moving and Hauling. So next time you need to move, call M&A Moving and Hauling at 515-490-2640. They'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Fortress Wealth Management and Insurance Services and Ames. Call Tim Hibbing at 515-290-9000 for all your insurance needs. And I just want to encourage all of our listeners to make sure you go to CaffeinatedThoughts.com's Facebook page. That is Facebook.com, Caff Thoughts, or just search Caffeinated Thoughts on Facebook. And go check out the video section because you'll get to witness what I just witnessed as the bumper music was playing is the fabulous Brian Myers doing air drums. It is very entertaining. Be sure to go watch and then like our page. if you haven't already. So
listen, it's the music. Who's got better music than we do?
Oh, we this have is, awesome.
We
bumper
have awesome
music.
Bumper music. Buddy.
Yes, yes. You know, I got some ideas for to throw in the mix there, but we got to keep the main stuff. I mean, you know, can't touch that.
You're going to end up throwing Garth Brooks in here again or something.
Oh, gosh, no. Not Garth Brooks.
Well, you're
people
Mr.
loving people.
Yeah, you're Mr. Cowboy on your music choice. You're going to have us listening to George Strait or something for bumper music.
No. I'll send you some of the bumper music I was thinking of to throw in there.
I think it's Hank Williams. Not my Junior, dude. The father.
Oh, man. It's quite obvious to if you don't realize that we don't have a guest on the line so for the second segment. So
really?
Yeah, they'd be very impressed, I'm sure. Just as our listeners are, I'm sure.
Okay. Enough of all that.
Yes, yes. I ran across this week a clip from a guy named Alan Schliemann. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right.
Could be Schliemann, could be Schliemann.
Yeah. Anyway, he's a speaker with Stand to Reason, which is an apologetics ministry I've followed for quite some time and have appreciated. And their website is str.org, and they have some awesome resources. And he has a podcast that he does, and he speaks a lot on the issue of abortion. And he was addressing the my body, my choice argument, and he said some interesting things. And I want to preface this with this is, you know, what he has to say is a way you could respond. It's an argument. It's not, you know, the argument or the only way that you can respond to this particular claim. When somebody says, well, for instance, you know, they'll say, I've heard you're a man. what do you have to say about abortion? You can't get pregnant. You know, you have nothing to say. It's a woman's body. It's her right to choose.
Yeah. Who are you to this debate?
Exactly. Yeah. And in that respect, maybe it'd been better off if a female was making this argument rather than Alan Schliemann. But I thought he said some interesting things. So, Ron, you want to go ahead and play that clip?
It's about 5 minutes.
It's about between 4 and 5 minutes long. I can't remember exact. That's if our technology works. Here we go. Cool music to start off with. Not like ours.
My body, my choice. That's one of the most common sort of on-the-street defenses for abortion. And the rationale goes like this. A woman has a right to do whatever she wants with her own body. And so since the unborn is allegedly merely part of the woman's body, therefore she's allowed to have an abortion. But here's the key question. If the unborn is merely part of the mother's body, then what part of the woman is missing after an abortion? Well, the answer is obvious. I mean, nothing. All the parts of the woman are still present after an abortion. And that's because the unborn is not part of her body, but rather a separate body that lies within her. Now, this question of whether the unborn is merely a part of the mother's body is actually a scientific question. And if you look at the science of embryology on this question, it is decisive in answering this question. And it turns out there are a number of different qualities and characteristics that are different about the unborn than they are about the mother. So, for example, gender. The unborn's gender can be different than that of the mother. And so, for example, if the unborn is a boy, then the unborn has male genitals. Now, clearly the mother does not have male genitals as a part of her body, and so that's why we conclude that the unborn is different than the mother's body. Or furthermore, there's also DNA. The unborn's DNA, its genetic signature, is completely different and unique from the mother, and from the father for that matter. In fact, if the unborn was merely part of the mother, then his or her DNA would be identical to the mother in the same way that the mother's colon or appendix or tonsils or eyes or teeth, all those have the same DNA as the mother. But the unborn's DNA is completely and uniquely different. And that's why we conclude that the unborn is a different body than the mother. Furthermore, we have evidence from the brain and the fact that the unborn has a different brain and central nervous system and different brainwave pattern from the mother. The unborn also has a different heart, has a different heartbeat, has a different blood type. The unborn has a different blood circulatory system than the mother. And here's what's interesting about that whole notion of the blood circulatory system. In the placenta, the unborn's blood and the mother's blood comes very, very close together, but they never overlap, or they never connect, or they never mix. Now, if there's a problem in the placenta where the blood of the unborn and the blood of the mother mix, then here's what happens. The mother's body mounts an immune response against the unborn child's body. Why? It's because the mother's body perceives the unborn as a separate body, a different being, not merely part of her body, right? The mother's immune system does not attack her own heart or her own eyes or her own bones because they are merely part of her body. But the mother's body does mount an immune response against the unborn child if there is a problem in the placenta, because it knows that that unborn entity is a separate being, unique and different from the mother's body. Now, furthermore, we also know that you can actually conceive of the unborn outside of the mother's body through in vitro fertilization inside a lab, and then later on, at some point in development, place that unborn child into the mother's body, which is, again, further evidence in realizing that, look, we're not talking about the same body. And finally, I'll suggest to you this, that through surrogacy today, you can have a child that is 100% African-American growing inside a mother who is 100% Swedish. You can have a completely different race and ethnicity of the unborn from the mother. Because again, if you just imagine that in your mind, we're clearly talking about a different body. So the claim that the mother can have an abortion merely because the unborn is just a part of her body is simply not scientifically accurate. It flies in the face of everything we know about the science of embryology. It's just not true.
Interesting. So, and really common sense, really. This is such an easy argument, I think, to knock down biologically, and he makes a great case about how, you know, science does not back up this claim that you know, my body, my choice. No, it is simply murder. This is a different being growing inside the mother's womb. And, you know, it just blows me away how people can make that argument that, you know, this is not just tissue inside a mom.
Right.
It's a living, breathing, well, not breathing exactly, but a living, functioning human being who has a heartbeat, who has a brain, who has, you know, is moving his fingers and toes, and it's just right. Incredible to me that people look at that so callously.
Well, and it is a good argument, no question about it. And not to take away from his point here at all, but one of the things that occurs to me is that the question, as the years have gone by since 1973, the question really has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that this argument never gets made anymore with, you know, the my body, my choice thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that never gets made anymore. But I think you're seeing those sorts of questions or those sorts of arguments being made less and less frequently. For example, we used to ask the question, when does life begin?
Mm-hmm.
That was really, really where the...
Well,
Where the whole thing rested 30 years ago.
Well, it still does rest there. I mean, simply, it really, if life begins at conception, there is no possible reason. Privacy doesn't matter. This whole argument's my body doesn't matter.
Right.
Everything else is really a straw man argument compared to this. By the way, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we're having a discussion on you know, how can we address abortion advocates and engage with them and with some of the questions they bring up and challenges they make?
Well, my point here is not where the argument should be. My point is, where is the argument going?
True.
Okay. And this whole discussion brought to my memory something that Cecile Richards of Planned Parenthood had said last year.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to the question, when does life begin? She said, it's not something that I feel is really part of this conversation. Every woman needs to make their own decision. And then she followed up by saying, I don't know that, this is controversial. I don't know that it's really relevant to the conversation. In other words, what she's saying is, this isn't a matter of controversy, A, and B, it's not relevant to the discussion anyway. And you can see where she's going with this, because she ends up saying this. For me, I'm the mother of three children. For me, life began when I delivered them.
Mm.
They've been probably the most important thing in my life ever since, but that was my own personal decision. Well, you know, a lot of people just...
It's postmodern argument. It's relativism. You know, life begins at conception. That might be true for you, but for me, the truth is that my children's life didn't begin until I delivered them. And that's a bunch of bull hockey.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people, when they heard her say that, just, you know, Al Mohler just went apoplectic, which you can understand. But
I love that word, apoplectic.
But here's the thing. She's saying something more than I think even Al Mohler put his finger on. What she's saying is that life doesn't begin at delivery, although that is what she said. She's saying something more than that. Mm. What she's saying is life begins when a woman says it does. You follow what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. And then
so therefore...
What I believe.
The logical conclusion here is we can have postpartum abortion, if you will, which is a...
My baby's not alive till he's a toddler?
But I'm serious. That's where the argument is going. I, as the mother, determine when life begins. So if that baby has already been delivered, but I determine that life has not begun, we have no ethical issue.
Yeah.
That's where this is going, see?
And let's just throw, and this is, you know, liberals tout science until it, you know, goes against their arguments. Science is on the side of pro-life. Science is on the side of life beginning at conception. Because why? Because when a baby is conceived, it grows. And what grows? Living things. Hello, this isn't rocket science.
Well,
baby is not alive, it does not grow.
But to a culture that is bankrupt of ethics, see, none of that's going to be relevant.
You're right.
And that's, so again, I'm not saying this
And this is
a,
where we need to go back, and this is where we need, and we have to challenge our the next generations to hold fast on the concept of absolute truth, because there is truth that is true for all people, all places, and all times.
Right.
And we do not have the right to redefine what is true and what is not. There has to be an absolute standard. Otherwise, chaos ensues. And this is the road we're heading down. Moral relativism will lead to nowhere good.
She has an absolute standard of her own, which is the mother determines when life begins.
Exactly. I'd like to, you know, ask you, is that absolutely true?
So, you raise a good point. What's the difference? Once that child has been delivered, what's the difference between that child that's struggling for life in that delivery room or abortion room, I guess, in this case, and that child once we have further development? Well, of course, there is none.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Hey, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Recently, my family moved into a new house, and we needed a couple of guys to help us. So I called M&A Moving and Hauling. At the Roloff House, maybe like at your house, moving day can be stressful, so you don't want just anyone handling your personal belongings. If you've ever had your church family help you move, then you know what it's like to work with the team of M&A Moving and Hauling. So next time you need to move, call M&A Moving and Hauling at 515-490-2640. They'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. You've heard me talk about how Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management got my business insured when no one else could. But Tim also insured my home and my family's automobiles. And just the other day, Tim told me that he had a three-week stretch where he saved three different local families $1,000 per year or more on their insurance. And he said this is not an uncommon thing. So naturally, I said, sign me up for that. Tim Hibbing is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers. And we come to our segment where it's news that hopefully you can use. Just kind of our news rundown. And before we get to that, I just wanted to make one comment, because before coming up to our studios in Boone, I filled up my, well, not completely, I hardly ever fill up my tank because I'm cheap and I just don't want to spend that much money. However, it's not as painful as it used to be. Gas, at least ethanol anyway, the state subsidized ethanol, $1.99 a gallon down in Des Moines. I can't even remember last time we had gas less than $2. And I just want to say thank you to President Obama for that. Because here's why. Here's why. And here's you're probably like, where's he going with this? Here's why. Thank you, President Obama, because if you had opened up, this may have happened. He made fracking possible, really, because, you know, by closing off ANWR and by not allowing us to drill offshore and expand that, you made us find another alternative, fracking, and fracking has OPEC nervous. So they're dropping they're increasing their production in order to drop the price of a barrel of oil below $60. I believe it's $60 a barrel is what fracking really needs to really be able to be competitive. And
may I
the
point
only,
out?
The only this is a short respite. Okay, I admit, and I'm fearful to what the prices are going to bounce back to, and really in the long run, while it's good for my wallet right now, it's not a great development for the American economy because. Because we need fracking right now, because OPEC's not always going to do this. Anyway.
Well, may I point out
sure.
that our beloved president's party, I am confident, is working feverishly. Certainly elements of that party are working feverishly to shut down fracking everywhere.
Sure.
It's only a matter of time till they put the kibosh on that if we let them. And then we'll be saying to $4, you know, hello to $4 gasoline again.
Yeah.
And watching the folks across the pond, you know, laugh all the way to the bank.
But this is a case in point of how increasing our energy production works and how it drives you got market forces at play. If we decrease our dependence upon foreign oil, OPEC has no choice. I mean, it's.
Well, you remember all of the laughing that people did back in 2008 when McCain and Palin were talking so much about drill, baby, drill?
Yeah.
That
won't do anything.
That won't accomplish a thing.
And
you are just a simpleton. These are complex problems.
And this is fracking. I mean, it's not. This is not even close to what they'd be able to produce if they drilled in ANWR or if we expanded our offshore drilling. Can you imagine?
Well, T. Boone Pickens, not that I agree with him on the business with the wind energy, but he was absolutely right on natural gas. I've forgotten now what the number was, but he said at the time when he was pushing an energy program, you know, 6 or 8 years ago, whatever it was, he was talking at that time, if I remember right, about 20 trillion cubic feet of natural gas
yeah.
that we have domestically.
Yeah.
All we got to do is get it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
Anyway.
Yeah. Thank you, President Obama. So,
did you really have to do that?
I did, because people say I don't thank the president often enough, and so I just had to throw that in there. You know, we just celebrated Christmas. So.
Didn't we just see on Facebook somebody had a meme up there with him taking credit for the low energy prices?
Yeah, well, I'm giving him credit.
Probably slapping myself in the forehead.
I'm giving him credit, but probably not in the way that he would expect.
Yeah. All right. We've got a bit of news here. Hopefully we can get through some of this. We've got apparently a widespread outage of the internet in North Korea is what I'm hearing.
Sure.
That took place early in the week. And
it's back on. At least some websites are back
on. Well, that goes to one of my questions here. The fundamental question that's being asked everywhere is, okay, is this a retribution for the stunt North Korea pulled with Sony? In other words, was the United States government decided to play with North Korea's internet?
First of all, that would be seriously awesome if that were true.
It would be.
But I have a feeling that's probably not the case.
Well, for me, one of the questions I had is, that was the word they used, widespread.
Uh-huh.
So we've got a widespread outage in North Korea. Well, I'm sitting here thinking, North Korea has widespread internet?
Yeah.
Seriously?
So you're basically saying...
got a Starbucks in North Korea where everybody goes in there and uses their laptops on the wireless or what?
So you're basically saying the dear leader can't access Google.
But seriously, I had no idea that they even had a great deal of internet usage in North Korea.
I highly doubt they do. It's probably the approved people and folks in the government. I mean,
well, and I was also curious how we knew that there was a widespread outage.
And if there's those who are fortunate enough to be not to be in dire poverty where they can actually afford a computer, and I don't even know what kind of computer that system they would be running in North Korea. My goodness, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine.
Dial up with DOS, buddy.
Oh, gosh. I'd have to believe that. I mean, they're seriously restricted in what websites they can go to. I mean, China restricts, and compared to North Korea, they seem like, you know, very progressive.
Yeah, none of this made a lot of sense to me. I'm not saying it didn't happen. It raised a lot of questions. But.
Sure.
Okay, moving on. The situation in New York is getting worse by the moment. Frankly, in my opinion, race relations are as bad as they've been in mm-hmm. recent memory. I mean, this is really, and it's nationwide, but it's particularly bad in New York right now. Given everything that's happened, the NYPD union representative says that the mayor has blood on his hands.
Yeah. Well, when De Blasio, when he went into the precinct, I mean, they literally turned their backs on the man.
Yeah.
That's, wow.
This is really, really ugly.
I couldn't even imagine being a mayor of a community having that kind of a hostile relationship with my own police force.
Well, and it struck me too as really ironic. These two police officers that were executed, they were both minorities.
Yes.
One was Oriental and the other one was Hispanic, I think.
Yes.
And, anyway.
Actually, I think the PC word for Oriental is actually Asian, Brian, but I'll just throw that in there.
Sorry, I'm okay. Old school.
Yes.
What can I say? And last but not least, from the You Can't Make This Stuff Up department over in Brazil now, apparently the courts have determined that an orangutan has I guess, what are they referring them to, as?
A non-human person. Yeah, I was going to say non-person human. That didn't make sense.
Yeah, but they deserved the basic rights of a non-human person. I don't even know how to respond to that.
I don't think you can, really. I mean,
well, we had this case in the United States here about a month ago with that 40-year-old chimp named Tommy, and in that case, the court actually got it right and said Tommy doesn't have human rights. Sorry, you know, so he can continue to be owned. But I guess in Brazil, you better check your pets at the door before you go visit. No, it's not Brazil. I'm sorry.
It's Argentina. Argentina is probably one of the more liberal countries in South America. So this
whole world's gone mad.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I guess this sort of thing just really ought not to shock us at all. But
no. Anyway, on that note, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. You've heard me talk about how Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management got my business insured when no one else could. But Tim also insured my home and my family's automobiles. And just the other day, Tim told me that he had a 3-week stretch where he saved 3 different local families $1,000 per year or more on their insurance. And he said this is not an uncommon thing. So naturally, I said, sign me up for that. Tim Hibbing is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Recently, my family moved into a new house, and we needed a couple of guys to help us. So I called M&A Moving and Hauling. At the Roloff House, maybe like at your house, moving day can be stressful, so you don't want just anyone handling your personal belongings. If you've ever had your church family help you move, then you know what it's like to work with the team of M&A Moving and Hauling. So next time you need to move, call M&A Moving and Hauling at 515-490-2640. They'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640 and they'll send you a couple of guys. And we are to our final segment. This has been a blast today, and it's gone fast.
It has flown by.
So, yeah. We have a couple stories that we wanted to share. One, the movie Unbroken.
Yeah, these stories are connected, but anyway.
Okay. Yeah. I'll let you, I mean, you've done probably a little more research into this, so.
Yeah, there's a new film coming out. I think it premiered Christmas Day. I have this right. Anyway, it's a film called Unbroken, and it was, I can't remember if it was produced or directed or both by Angelina Jolie.
Hmm.
One of the other or both, but
not exactly somebody you think to direct a movie like this.
No. Anyway, this film is about
Louis Zamperini.
Is that his first name, Louis?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Mr. Zamperini's story is just incredible. In World War II, his plane is shot down, and he's captured by the Japanese and spends a great deal of time being tormented in a Japanese prison camp. And it's just, that part's a pretty incredible story. And then afterwards, of course, he is really struggling with PTSD. And
before they really, that was really
before they
diagnosis.
Knew what it was, yeah. So he's trying to kill the pain with alcohol, and he's consumed with visions of murdering his chief Japanese tormentor back when he was in the prison camp. And it was only when, at the urging of his wife, he attended a Billy Graham crusade in 1949 and surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And that's when his son Luke says that his father truly became unbroken, and the nightmares stopped. And so did the drinking. And then subsequently, I guess he had a role as an evangelist with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, although I don't think that comes out in the film. But in any event, this is really a great story, and I haven't seen the film, but I certainly want to. And this is the kind of guy that we want to hold up as a hero, as an example. And in our culture, we desperately need to have guys like this that we look up to.
Absolutely. And you know, just that's a testament to the work of Billy Graham. When he does pass away, I don't know if we're ever going to see anybody like him again. Do you?
Well, you know, who's to say what the Lord may
well,
have
true.
In store?
Sure.
I mean, I would love to. We talked about Spurgeon recently. It would be wonderful to have a guy like Spurgeon or Whitfield, you know, to come on the scene, and you know, have his preaching just blessed immensely by the Holy Spirit, and you know, the Holy Spirit's poured out on the nation, and we have a national repentance, and everything turns around. That would be incredible, and it can happen. It has happened in the past. Huh. On the other hand, it's hard for us to look around and say, yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah, who's that guy? Maybe he's in high school right now. We'll see. Youth pastors, be on the lookout, you know? So, yeah, but it's just, it's phenomenal. I love it the movies like this are being made.
Yeah, yeah, this is a real surprise to see a film like this, you know, that's got such a powerful message, and at least I'm assuming it does. I shouldn't say that because I haven't seen the film yet, but my hope is that, you know, it's every bit as good as what I've read, and that this is, like I say, that this is something that we can point to as an evidence of the grace of God and someone who really and truly is a hero.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, they're going to also release a documentary about Unbroken. So be sure to check that out. It's going to be called Captured by Grace.
Yeah, we definitely need to see that. Okay, the quote of the day is from John R.W. Stott. So Jesus confronts us with himself, sets before us a radical choice between obedience and disobedience, and calls us to an unconditional commitment of mind, will, life, to his teaching.
Amen.